Imagine you're on a journey, but this isn't just an ordinary journey. This is a journey, a treasure hunt you're going on. You're on a journey to find a treasure. Now, wouldn't you want a map, an accurate map to get you there? Today, we have GPSs. And you have these GPSs, and if you have an older one, sometimes it does not have all the correct information. Have you ever had a GPS lead you down a road and then say, you've arrived, and you're kind of out in the middle of nowhere? Yeah, some of you are shaking your heads, yeah. Or you're at a dead end. It goes, it's telling you you need to keep going straight forward, but all of a sudden, the road ends. You got nowhere to go. Well, what? Okay, there you go. See, whenever you go and you're looking for a treasure, you're on a treasure hunt, or you're going somewhere, you're on a journey, you want to make sure you have, isn't that really cool? You want to make sure you have as most the accurate information as you can. Today, I want us to begin on a journey which will lead us to a treasure. See, we all want to find some sort of treasure, because we believe that treasure will be beautiful or will supply a need or something that we have, something that we need. Craig Randall, he drove a garbage truck in Peabody, Massachusetts. One day, when he was collecting the garbage, he noticed that there was a Wendy's cup, and it had the one of the game stickers on it, the one that needs to get peeled off. Well, this one hadn't been peeled off. And wouldn't you know it, that a week before this, he'd actually peeled one off of a cup that he had, and he won a chicken sandwich. So he thought, I'm going to peel this off. Maybe I can get a drink or some fries. And so he peels the sticker off, and he doesn't get a drink or fries. He gets a sticker worth $200,000 toward the remodeling of a house. Sometimes we find treasures in the oddest of places. But the treasure that we're going to be looking for as we get into this, it's not a financial treasure. It's Jesus Christ. We'll be working our way through the Gospel of Luke in an attempt to try to get to know Jesus better, to find out what made him tick, to find out who he is in reality, who he really is, and most of all, how we, each one of us, can be his disciples. But before we begin this treasure hunt that we're going on, we need to make sure that this map that we have is trustworthy. So the question that I want to ask you, which is actually the title of our message today, is, can we trust the map? If you have your Bibles, you can open to the book of Luke, chapter 1. If you have a bookmark or something, you may want to put it there, because Pastor Frank said that we'll be spending a few weeks there. The reality is we're probably spending more like a couple of years there with the way we do things and changing things around. So Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. But before I get to that, I've been sharing a little bit with you all on this journey that I've been on with my dad. And last week I told you that we were hoping to go there. And I've been asking my dad to hang on, that we're trying to get there and stuff like that. But my prayer last week was that that if it was time, it was time. He hasn't passed away yet, okay? So that. But I did call on New Year's Eve, and I spoke with Maria, and my dad at that point had not eaten or drinking anything in 7 days. And so I asked if I could talk to him, and she said, well, you can try. And so she gave the phone to my dad, and I spoke to him just real briefly and stuff like that. Asked him, I said, hey, Dad, hello. And he kind of mumbled a little bit of hello. And I said, how you doing? And he mumbled, fine. And that was it. Asleep or out or whatever, however you want to do that. Some of you will probably have a better picture of it than I do. And so I tried to explain to him while it was on the phone, I guess he still had it at the time, that I know I've been asking him to hang on, but if it's time to go, then it's time to go. And he doesn't have to hang on for us. We'll be fine. And then Maria got the phone. And so she put him on speakerphone. I said that again so that she could hear that. And then she kind of, okay, it's wrong. She kind of yelled at him, but it wasn't really yelled at him. Talk loudly to him so that he could hear, and asked him if he'd heard what I'd said. And he kind of responded a little bit. I called on Friday, and he still hasn't eaten or drink anything. So at this point in time, we are not planning on going. the honest truth is we're supposed to leave Thursday. I don't really expect him to be alive. You never know. But even if he is, I'm not sure that he's all there and stuff. So, that's the journey. Two sides to this. Sometimes you go, God, why did you ever let me do that to put my heart out there just so I could see him once and that's it? And the other side of that is, God, I'm so thankful that I got to see him one last time. And we got some closure and some reconciliation. So there's these two things that are going on. And sometimes you take risks and you leave yourself vulnerable while you're out there and doing all that. So, if you can be praying for my dad, that, if it's time, it's time and he can release and, be praying for us as we deal with this. So that's where we're at. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. You can follow your Bibles if you want. Aaron will put it up here for you. It reads like this. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seems good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. I only need them when I'm reading. It's a good thing. This passage, right at the very beginning of the gospel account, it tries to define for us the credentials of this treasure map. See, it was customary among the Greeks and the Hellenistic historians to explain and to justify their work in a preface. Their object was to assure the reader of their capability, their thorough research, and the method for making the map, the purpose for which it was made. We'll examine each one of those shortly. But do you realize that there's one thing that's kind of missing in this? And that is the identification of the author himself. Nothing tells us who wrote it. Now, if you want to be able to trust this map, you want to know who wrote it down. You want to know who the author of it was. If he knew what he was talking about. And so it seems kind of strange that in this book, that's trying to pass on all this information, the author never identifies himself. But the letter does give us some identifying statements, some clues that we can do. First, the gospel is addressed to a guy named Theophilus, which basically means lover of God. Some people think that that's enough information right there to say that this letter is generally being written to anybody who loves God. But because the author addresses him as most excellent, which was a title that was kind of reserved for dignitaries, important officials, members of the aristocracy. See, Paul actually uses this title, this word, to address the governors of Caesarea, Felix and Festus. It doesn't make any sense then that the author here uses such a specific term to talk about a symbolic group of people. And so most likely Theophilus was actually a real person, a specific person. There are only two occasions in the entire Bible that Theophilus is mentioned. One is here in the book of Luke, and the other is found in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." What we have here is a two-volume set written as a history of the Christian church to some important official. Now, whoever wrote Luke also seems to have written the book of Acts. And here is where we get some of the clues. The book of Acts is predominantly written in third person. he did this, or they went there, except for four passages where it changes to first person. We did this, we did that, we went there. And from those four sections, you can kind of narrow it down to seven men. Titus, Demas, Crescens, Jesus, Justice, Epaphras, Epaphroditus, and Luke. If you narrow it down just a little bit farther, you can look at some of the other accounts that are taking place. First, both of these accounts, Luke and Acts, are widely regarded as the most cultured writings in the New Testament. Literally speaking, the Greek is very good. The writer of these two books is well-educated. In some sections, it's very classical. In others, it takes on an Aramaic style. And in even others, it takes on a Greek Old Testament translation. Now, for those of you who are trivia buffs or who likes some interesting information, the author of the book of Luke and Acts uses 266 words that are not found anywhere else in the New Testament. Whoever wrote this book, these books, was very skillful with the pen. He was educated and more than likely had a Greek background, not Hebrew. Luke was the only real candidate who could satisfy all of these requirements. He was a Greek and he was a doctor. He was highly educated at a university level. Second, these accounts here, they indicate that the author was interested in medical facts. Luke dwells on more details relating to a person's state of mind and their health than do the books of Mark or Matthew. And remember, Luke is a doctor. Thirdly, all external evidences from the very earliest dates believe that Luke was the author of this gospel. There really is no other credible option. Almost unanimous agreement between scholars today that Luke was the author. So if Luke is actually the author of this book, we're going to go with that. How can we trust this map? Is he a trustworthy person? See, Luke was most likely Greek-speaking Gentile by birth. He was probably one of the early converts of Paul in his first missionary journey, the one that took him to Antioch. Now, we can't be sure of that, but that's an assumption that would be made. In any case, he is a traveling companion with Paul for many years, and he was a fellow worker with him. He was a physician by profession, and he gave medical care to Paul. He went with Paul from Troas to Macedonia on his journeys, and he actually became the pastor of the Philippian church. When Paul returned to Philippi on his third journey, Luke actually went with him back to Jerusalem. And when Paul was imprisoned and then taken to Rome, Luke traveled with him. Luke accompanied him all the way. And he stayed with Paul while he was in prison in Rome and was the only one who actually remained as Paul faced death. So, would Luke be credible? My response is yeah. See, he's not just a spectator, you know, studying the Christian life from the outside. He was an active preacher and a missionary himself. He was so closely associated with Paul, and he probably witnessed Paul's death for the sake of the gospel. To him, this was no mere game. His whole purpose of life, everything that he held dear, depended on him, Luke, getting the facts straight. So I want to put it before you that as we go on this journey, and we go through this map, through this book, that we can trust what is written there because the author is trustworthy. But are the sources of the information credible? See, Luke begins by writing in 1 and 2. He says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Luke sets out to show that his sources are credible by showing that many have gone before him. See, there was quite a bit of interest in Jesus' life by this time. And there were many people who were writing down accounts and writing down some of the things that have happened. one of which is Mark's gospel. And Luke draws very heavily upon Mark's gospel. But in this case, it wasn't quite enough. And so Luke sets out to get more information if he can and to write his own account. Many of these other account writers, like Luke, were not eyewitnesses. Their information was gleaned, however, in this and other accounts, was directly obtained from eyewitnesses to the events. See, eyewitnesses are incredibly important, even in our own court system today. Secondhand and third-hand information is not allowed. That's called hearsay. You need the credibility of an eyewitness, somebody who is actually there, because that minimizes the risk that the truth will be distorted. Now, Luke, in all of his travels around with Paul, he had plenty of opportunity to meet and to talk with many of the apostles and others who had been there and followed Jesus Christ. It was likely that Luke's gospel was written somewhere around 60 AD and that he had done several years of research before he wrote it. That would put it about 30 years after Christ had died. His research was likely taking place for several years and these eyewitnesses would still be alive. Luke's sources, these eyewitnesses, were servants to the ministry, were servants and ministers of the word. They weren't these passive observers, those who had not been affected by Jesus Christ. They were people who had been transformed by the gospel and they were actively working in the service of Christ. Like he himself, their lives had been changed. And so their testimonies, they weren't distant memories, but dynamic and trustworthy accounts of things that were in their mind that seemed like they had just happened yesterday. So we can have confidence that Luke, his map is trustworthy because he is trustworthy and because his sources are trustworthy. So now we need to ask, the method of data collection, is it credible? And in verse 3, Luke writes, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write down an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Luke declares to us that he himself has investigated the information. He gathered the information and he spoke to the eyewitnesses. He arranged all the accounts. He filled in any holes and he sorted out all the discrepancies. But not only did he do all that, he says that he did it carefully. And what was left when he was done was enough information to set down an orderly account of the life of Jesus in volume 1 and a history of the early church in volume 2. Now, you know what the amazing thing is here? Is that Luke has written more of the New Testament than any other writer. Now, Paul has more books, but Luke has actually written 28% of the New Testament. And it's all carefully researched material which God inspired him to write. Now, William Ramsey, he was not quite convinced of the historical accuracy of Luke's writings in the book of Acts, especially on Paul's missionary journeys, the different journeys that he went on. So he spent years investigating the matter. His work was so scholarly and commendable that the Queen of England actually knighted him for his work. But Sir William Ramsay, instead of finding Luke in error, actually found out that his writings were completely accurate. He actually described the books of Acts as the most perfect historical document of all time. Now, I said before that Luke wrote all this stuff and he got his information from eyewitnesses. And that's important for two reasons. First, Luke could go to them and get the information straight from them. And the second thing is, after he wrote his books, these people were able to go and check the accuracy of Luke's writings. They could hold it up either as truth or reject it as heresy. See, when you do scientific research, you want to make sure that it's verifiable. When you're in the laboratory and you're doing research and you're trying to replicate an experiment, you want to make sure that it can be done over and over and over again. That way, if somebody else goes to do it, they can replicate it and verify that what you've said, what you've done is correct. Now, for Luke, this validity and this checking was achieved by publishing his work while many of his sources were still living. They were able to validate his investigation and his account. So, are Luke's methods credible? Most definitely. We can trust the map because Luke was a credible author, his sources were credible, and his method of research was credible. The last thing is, as we get through this, is I want to encourage you that we can trust this map because the purpose for writing it was credible. Luke's reason for writing this account was so that Theophilus could know for sure what he had been taught. I like how the message puts it. Listen to this. I decided to write it all out for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt the reliability of what you were taught. Now, we don't know for certain if Theophilus was a believer or not. But we do know that he had been taught, he had received some information about Jesus Christ. And so Luke's desire in this book is that Theophilus would know the truth for certainty. See, God doesn't want us to hold on to a bunch of wild stories about his son, Jesus Christ. He is a God of truth, and he wants us to be certain of the things that we believe. That is why Luke's gospel was written, so that we can trust the map that is given to us, because its purpose is not to lead us astray, but is to lead us and to guide us into all truth. So how important is God's truth to your life? Do you want to find this treasure that leads to an eternity with God? Well, if you do, then somehow you've got to find Jesus. See, he's that treasure that we all need as part of our lives. And as we look into Luke's map of Jesus' life over these next coming months, see, I don't want us to just look at it. I pray that our eyes would be open to Jesus in a fresh new way and not just learn for the sake of learning or to go through it for the sake of going through it, but that somehow each one of us can find a treasure. We can find something new, something that will help to revolutionize our lives, help us to move closer. We need to be prepared for that and ready for God to move, praying for ourselves and praying for the people around us. So as I wrap it up today, and the worship team comes up, are you ready to go on this voyage of discovery with me? To go on this journey as we continually open the book of Luke and go through it and find out what it is that Luke has for us?